I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kind of a busy first day. The negotiating period, which began at noon yesterday, produced some surprises, I think, throughout the league, but also, you know, for the Bucks. And this, we had talked about this, Steve, and I think I wrote about it, that there was a good possibility that the Bucks would make a trade, particularly at the cornerback position, and they did.
Yes, they did.
Carlton Davis goes to the Detroit Lions for the Lions' third-round pick in 2024. In exchange, the Bucks also give up a couple of six-round picks in 2024 and 2025. So Carlton Davis plus a couple of six-rounders for a third-rounder. And I got to be honest with you, like, I like Carlton Davis. I like him a lot as a guy. And he's a really good player when healthy. And that's really the key to this whole thing. You know, he's in the final year of a contract, pays him around $20 million a year. He's played like an elite, paid like an elite quarter, hasn't always played that way. I think, you know, to have nine career interceptions in 6 years is not what you're looking for somebody that's, considered what he is financially. However, the bigger problem is the games he misses. This guy is hurt all the time. And, you know, he has missed 16 or 17 games just in the last 3 years alone. So if you remember last year, it was either him or Jamel Dean was out almost every week, and Zion McCallum would fill in for whoever wasn't there. Well, you know what? They feel like Zion McCallum is ready to step into a starting job. He doesn't cost them as much money as Carlton Davis, and he had some draft value, Carlton Davis did. So they unload him. And I know that the Lions needed to get better in the secondary, and they get instantly better, right, with Carlton. But how many games will he play? How many plays will he make in terms of interceptions and things like that? And, oh, by the way, you save a whole lot of money not having to pay him. So I don't know. I think they got good value for him. I'm not going to say that they fleeced the Lions on this deal, but to me, to get even a late third-round pick or whatever it is, and give up two sixes, which you frankly hope don't make your team anyway, I think it's a solid deal. If you're in fact convinced that Carlton is not part of your future as you thought he was.
Well, and I think in an ideal world, Carlton would be part of your future, but there is a salary cap and you've got to spread the money around and you've got to figure out how to pay for people. And we know that Baker Mayfield just got a huge raise and Mike Evans is still being paid. And so you have to make some financial decisions, and you kind of figured either Davis or Jamel Dean was going to go. As you said, like Davis, I think he's a tremendous corner. I think the Bucks play a lot more zone, and that's not his strength.
Right.
His strength is more, man on man, press man coverage. I mean, that's where his strength is. And so playing in a zone wasn't the right fit for him here. And if he stays healthy, this is going to be a good pickup for the Lions. So they're taking a risk. They're trading a third rounder, taking a risk on a really good cornerback. If he can stay healthy, that's going to be a huge pickup for them. Meanwhile, for the Buccaneers, you've got Zion McCallum that you'll slide in now. And, like you said, Carlton Davis wasn't necessarily the best fit for this defense. So it gives you an opportunity to explore other options as well, too.
Yeah, and I don't know how much stock you put into these guys. I mean, I listen and read Pro Football Focus that does their rankings and their gradings of players each week. They had Carlton Davis ranked 68th among 127 graded corners and that last season, and that's the lowest grade he's had since his rookie year. And so no one's been overly impressed with him. And again, if he's not on the field, he's no use to you anyway. So to me, for them to get value of a third round pick, you hope that the six rounders you gave up weren't going to make the club anyway. It does happen. I think it's good. Now, Carlton's going to be very motivated. I think it's a good deal for him too, because he's been given up on, you know, and he's been sent to a really good football team in the Lions that made it to the NFC Championship game. And frankly, their secondary was riddled, you know, so you can understand why the Lions are like, look, we're all in, you know, we were that close. We had a lead. We just couldn't stop them when we needed to. And maybe Davis is a big part of the reason why they would. So it's sort of a good deal, I think, for both teams. I would kind of favor the Bucs because you're not going to re-sign him. You had him for just 1 year, and are you going to have him for the whole year or not? You really don't know based on his history. So knowing that, a big part of this will be on how ready is Zion McCallum. Zion McCallum is by far the most athletic guy in the secondary. I mean, he's freakish in terms of his speed, his length, his size, you know, change of direction, like all those things. And yet, even though he started a ton of games last year because either Dean or Carlton were out, like now it's your show, right? Now the spotlight is on you and the number one receiver, or the number two receiver, whoever it is over there. Can you respond, you know? And I think the plan was to play him more regardless. And now it's going to be, hey, you know, can this guy come in and replace Davis and make more plays on the ball? It's a lot of faith in Zion McCallum here, a whole lot. And in Jamel Dean, too, quite frankly, because Jamel missed a ton of games as well. He hasn't been the healthiest guy in the world. So, but to move on from a Carlton Davis, that's a pretty big deal in free agency. And we anticipated it. Again, the salary cap is an issue, but – you know, seeing it, it's interesting. I really do wonder, and I guess we'll see his press conference at some point down the road, but I really do wonder what Carlton's reaction was when he got the phone call and said, hey, you're going to Detroit. It's just it's a humbling game that way. And yet
it is, but you're going to a team that,
yeah, a really good football team.
Had a shot at making the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, they beat you.
The Bucks did too. You won in your division,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, but they beat you.
Yeah, but it wasn't like you went to a team that you don't think has a shot this year.
No. They did him a solid. They sent him someplace where he can win and possibly win a Super Bowl ring. And you know, that's I think that's pretty key, to be honest with you. They also had a signing, and this was not unanticipated, but their place kicker, Chase McLaughlin. I thought that maybe it would go closer to Wednesday or even, you know, possibly into free agency, because, you know, kickers are kickers, right? But not with this franchise, not with one as good as Chase has been. You know, he set a club record a year ago, and it wasn't a fluke, you know. This dude is money. He missed just 2 field goals out of 31 attempts, I believe. And he was, you know, what they really signed him for, because he replaced a really good kicker in Ryan Succop, who was their Super Bowl kicker that they liked really, really well. But McLaughlin is staying put. He signed a 3-year deal. It's worth $12.3 million. It happened just hours before the negotiation period was going to begin. But how about this? In addition to, you know, his club record field goal percentage, he also went 7 of 8 on field goal attempts of 50 yards or more, again, with a career long of 57. And so this guy is a weapon. He's not just a good kicker. He's a fantastic kicker. And it's amazing to me that if you go back and look at his Wikipedia page, you're going to see so many stops for this guy throughout his career. I mean, it's just incredible. He made 11 of them in the NFL in the past 5 seasons. But he was always effective, you know, no matter where he was. He was a good kicker. His last team before the Bucks was the Indianapolis Colts, and they had a chance to sign Matt Gay. And you can't blame them necessarily, you know, because Matt is a little bit more of a proven commodity. But it absolutely paid off for Chase and for the Buccaneers to get him down here in Tampa. And this has not been, to say the least, you know, until Ryan Succop got here, it's not been one of the strengths of Jason Light and his staff to try to identify and draft a kicker.
Well, that's why it's so important for them to sign one when they find one that they like.
No question. Oh, no question.
I mean, they've spent 2 draft picks on it in Jason Light's tenure.
Yes, he did. And so he does a 3-year deal. It's worth $12.3 million. Like I said, it happened just hours before the negotiating period. So good on them. Like that's, you know, that's a third of your team. I mean, that, you know, special teams, and you're talking about points, right? You're talking about scoring points. This guy is probably going to be your leading scorer. So I think it's a huge pickup. And, you know, and in a sense, that was kind of, you know, the Bucks' entire first day of free agency, if you will, if you want to call, you know, the negotiating period the first day. That's sort of all they did.
Well, let's not forget the Bucks are also bringing back a running back, Chase Edmonds, back on a 1-year deal. So that, you know, you've got RB1 Rashad White. Now you've got Chase Edmonds there as well. You know, and the running game has been an issue here. But they've been the last two seasons. But now you get some stability with your RB1 back, and Chase Edmonds by the end of the year was getting a lot of valuable touches there late. So
he was, and I thought, you know, his problem early on was just he wasn't healthy. And yep. Once he got mended up and he got out there and they started throwing the ball to him a little bit, he certainly can, you know, can spell Rashad White at times. But he's also the same kind of back in that he's multi-purpose. You can throw it to him. You can run it. Whatever you want to do, he'll slam it up in there. But I thought Edmonds played his best football the last, month and a half of the season when he started to feel good, when he started to feel healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, going into the draft, I always say this. I think teams, you know, look at free agency as opportunities, obviously. But it's sort of the last gasp effort, you know, to help your team before the draft. And so I think what's important is that if you had to line up and play tomorrow, right, before you get to the NFL draft, what does your team look like? To me, that's always been sort of the litmus test, is that good teams will re-sign their players, sign other players, as if they're not going to get anybody in the draft that's going to help them. And that's why I think Edmonds is so important, because you got to have another back. You know, you got to have at least two backs in this league, and hopefully one like Evans that can, you know, catch and run the same way that Rashad White does. Different body types, all of that. I get it, but it's a critical piece, and, you know, it's one that you can see them sort of chipping away at this thing a little bit. And they've still got more work to do. There's no question about that, you know, and I think Jason Light will eventually re-sign Lavonte David. I think that deal will come when it's time, and sometimes it's just a matter of the market sort of settling. But he may not make it to Wednesday. I still think that they're going to try to extend Chris Godwin, you know, who's currently under the franchise tender. I think they would like to do that and save some cap money for this year as well. So far, like it's the old so far so good. You know, the guy that jumps out of the window in the high rise, and every time he passes the floor, he's like, well, so far so good. I don't know that they're going to go splat, but I do think if you look around the division, and this was big, big news, really this kind of started, in a sense, the dominoes. And, you know, we know that Baker Mayfield re-signed with the Bucks, and I think that was always sort of his desire. And I don't know that any other teams were as interested as Tampa Bay was. But we did know Atlanta had to make a decision. Atlanta needs a quarterback. Justin Fields has been dangled for them by the Chicago Bears. I don't know what his value is, to be honest with you. But they wind up signing Kirk Cousins, which to me is a huge deal. Now, you know, the Bucs went up to Minnesota a year ago with Kirk and Justin Jefferson, all these great receivers, and they beat them. You know, they started 3-1, but they beat Minnesota. So it's not a slam dunk that a guy coming off an Achilles tear is a year older, you know, is going to go to a new team with new players, some of which are as good as what he had in Minnesota, and just knock it out. But it's a good signing, a really good signing. And I think that this division in time will start beating other teams outside the division. That's been sort of what the weakness has been. But I like this deal. I'm not sure that I like it as much with the torn Achilles. I'm not sure I like it as much because I don't know his mobility. But Kirk Cousins is a hell of an NFL quarterback. and he can get stuff done with lesser talent. And thing is, Atlanta does have talent. So I'm kind of all in on this deal. I'm happy for Raheem. Again, I don't root for teams. I do root for people at times, but this seems like a solid hire to me.
It's absolutely, I mean, you know, what are your options in Atlanta? Justin Fields. Which, yeah. To do that, you're giving up draft picks.
Giving up compensation, yeah.
Maybe it wasn't a ton.
Right.
But so that's an option. Obviously, yep. You've got your in-house options in Desmond Ridder. And mm-hmm. Is Taylor Heinicke still under contract? I'm not even sure.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You know, or you can go see what's behind door number two, as Bruce Arians would say.
And, that's right.
You know, he was the best free agent on the market, particularly once Baker Mayfield signed.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't hit free agency. And right. So they went out and got the best one. And we know they have a good team. They got a ton of weapons for them.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a pretty good defense. And Raheem Morris, we'll see what he does with the team there. But that's a huge move by Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, listen to all the national guys. It's already, okay, now it's Atlanta's division to win. Let's see how the draft shakes
out.
Yeah,
I don't know that I would go that far. But yeah. But they're definitely way more competitive. And the thing is, I think Minnesota was as talented or more so on offense a year ago. Like I said, with Jefferson and those other guys. And yet the Bucs were able to go into Minnesota. It was week one, albeit, and win. So Kirk Cousins is not infallible. I think he's a really good quarterback. He's going to get a lot of attention. Atlanta will be relevant. These are all things we kind of expected, but it was a big piece, right? Desmond Ridder now kind of hangs around trying to learn some things, you know, be that sponge for them, if you will. And now the domino effect, like what does Minnesota do? You know, what does some of these teams that are looking for quarterbacks do if they decide not to draft one or can't get up to draft one? To me, it's going to be fascinating this year. All right, we'll get to more discussion about free agency and particularly the running back situation, which is fascinating through this whole thing. Some really all-pro names out there for the taking, and we'll tell you where they're starting to go. But I want to remind you guys that for the past 14 years, the Skill Pros of May Electric Solar, they've been installing solar energy systems in Florida. Now they provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service, while helping homeowners cut energy costs with an environmentally free and friendly investment. May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors, and they've always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Well, now May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means that your roof, your electrical, and equipment replacement, it's all covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar and is owned by the homeowner with no deductions or additional fees. Now, this policy will transfer to new homeowners with no fee. This is not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of this program. May Electric Solar's reputation and history of workmanship has earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call this number 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com. You know what's fascinating in this year's free agency is the running back market. There are some elite, elite names, you know, guys that were highly coveted first-round picks, highly productive guys, that are all sort of looking at each other without making eye contact. It's very interesting. They're in the middle of the room. It's free agency time. And yet you wonder who's going to get the big money, if anyone, right? We know how teams have sort of appeared to have devalued the running back a little bit. And that's, you know, unfortunate, but I think it's real. You got to do more than just run the football. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is why, and this was shocking to a lot of New York Giants fans, but Saquon Barkley headed off to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Tiki Barber on New York radio says that Saquon is dead to him now.
You're dead to me. Okay, mobster. Come on, Tiki.
But you remember last year what you had, what Barkley and you had Jacobs and you had others that were franchise tagged and not happy about it. And some of them missed part of training camp. Because they weren't going to play under that, and then they signed new deals or got to the deadline and signed new deals, Barkley and those others. And so those all became free agents. Then you had other guys become free agents this year, like Austin Eckler's going to the Commanders, and Jacobs is going to the Packers. I can't remember who the Titans got, a big running back. Because now it's, where's Derrick Henry going to go? They got Tony Pollard. The Titans did. And so now where's Derrick Henry going to go? Like, the shuffling of running backs all over the league is fascinating, as they're all trying to get paid at a position that management and ownership has devalued.
Yeah.
And there's so many free agents this year. The Bengals just this evening signed Zach Moss, so they've cut Joe Mixon, so he's available now. They've had four straight 1,000-yard seasons.
Yeah.
You can see teams are like, we'll just plug in any running back here.
Yeah.
It's not quite that simple, but, you know, they're not willing to overpay at that position where there are other positions you would.
Right. Well, and, you know, I'm confident a little bit in the Bucs, and Rashad White to me is a number one running back. Chase Edmonds is a good number two. They're going to have a balanced attack. You know, the thing about when you see what the Bucs have done, and this is kind of like the macro with Baker Mayfield and everything. I thought John Romano wrote a really good column. I think all these deals that Jason Light has done are fair deals, which doesn't always happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't always get a fair deal for these guys. And what I mean by that is, you know, Baker came in here and played for almost no money, $4 million guaranteed, made up to almost $7 million with the incentives and whatnot. And so he wanted to get paid, but they didn't guarantee him $100 million, right? It's more like 50, you know, over the next 2 years. And you can earn, you know, 10 more based on different things, but it's not a 3-year guaranteed $100 million deal. I think Mike Evans made a good deal for himself and for the Bucks. I think these are all, these don't feel like deals where one side got over the other. And to me, that's sort of how you win, is that you make sure you get as many of your pieces back as you can. And I think the Bucks understand that. I think maybe their players do now too.
Which is funny, and it says a lot to, first of all, you know, making the playoffs four straight years, winning three straight division championships. You know, players want to go where they have a chance to win. They want to get paid first, but they also want a chance to win. But it speaks to the culture you've built here and the organization you've built here. But yet on the player survey, what'd they score? But all these guys are coming back on fair deals. But it's amazing. All these players are coming back,
right?
And it says, and like you said, they're not. It's not like the Bucks are overpaying to get them, which is what you have to do in free agency.
No, I think they have market value deals. Yeah,
which is why it's so important to re-sign your guys, because you don't overpay in free agency. You overpay. That's the whole nature of free agency. Yep. That's why players want to get to free agency.
Sure.
You know, someone's willing to overpay because that's what it takes to get free agents. Mm-hmm. And you can re-sign your own on fair deals. You know, you're not trying to rip your players off.
Right.
But you are trying. You have to look at the bigger picture, trying to, you know, build a whole team. You got to build a, you know, 53-man plus roster, not starting 22. And so it speaks a lot to what this organization has become, which, you know, before this 4-year run, it was 12 years of no playoffs. And having
it's incredible.
How many times did they win the start of free agency?
Yep.
How many times did we declare them the winner of free agency?
Oh, so many years. Sure.
You know, and so being able to re-sign your guys that have been productive and helped you to three straight division championships is huge and important. It allows you to address other needs as well. You're not having to reach for players. You're not having to overpay.
Right.
And now you know. There'll be a few more pieces, but you can go into the draft now filling holes, which is ultimately what you want to do.
I think at this point, really, the guy that they will get in sooner than later, maybe not, you know, noon may happen and all of that, but I think Lavonte David is going to finish his career here where he started it. You know, he's made noise about, I'll listen and I'll talk, and they've not really talked to him, but it just seems like that guy's sort of ageless in his experience and his production, what he does on and off the field. He said he wants to play one more year, go year to year at this point. And I think he played some of his best football at the end of the season a year ago. So whatever he's doing, it's working, you know, this Benjamin Button routine, but he looked pretty damn good. And so I think that's maybe a bigger signing than most people realize. I'm not sure.
I think it's a huge signing, and but it's also one where we know Levante wants to play here. Levante's made it no secret. He's going to look, but the Bucks want him. He wants to be here. Let's get these other deals, get these other deal done first, the guys who we risk losing.
Yes.
And then we'll see what we have left to get this deal done and figure out how to get it done.
There you go.
You know, I don't think they're in a rush to get that deal done because if Levante gets an offer somewhere else, he's going to come back to the Bucks, I would presume.
I would imagine, yeah.
And say, hey, this is the offer I have. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a match it offer, but
right.
You get something huge. You may have to pay a little more than you're comfortable with. We'll see. But, you know, I don't think he's one that's going to say, oh, I got a huge offer. See ya. I'm gone. Like,
no,
it's not going to, you know, there'll be a conversation. There'll be, and my guess is there's already been conversations, whether there's numbers exchange, et cetera. But the desire that both parties want Levante to be on the Bucks in 2024.
Yeah. And to me, he's, you know, outside of Rodney Barber and Derek Brooks, who we know play their entire careers here. I mean, Levante's numbers are not that far off Brooks. He didn't have quite as many tackles yet because he didn't play as long. But this guy is a beast, you know, and for this franchise. And he has slowed down in terms of foot speed, but he makes up for it in experience, anticipation, all those things that you can't teach. And, yeah, I mean, I'd run it back with him. You know, you're going to start KJ Britt most likely at the other inside linebacker spot. You know, I don't know what's going to happen to a guy like Devin White. I don't think he's going to resign here, but maybe the market isn't kind to him. Who knows?
Well, and knowing KJ Britt, you know, he's been in the league a couple of years, but he hasn't really started and played the minutes that he did near the end of last season and what you're anticipating he's going to do this year.
Right.
You love having Levante David there next to him. Because you saw what he did to help Devin White for years. And most likely, KJ Britt's performance is because Levante David was playing opposite him as well.
Absolutely.
Levante David makes the guys next to him so much better.
He's the eraser. To me, he's a big eraser. Like, you can go downhill, shoot your gap, be wrong. You know, even if you're wrong, you're right because you playing fast. And Levante will have your back, you know.
Yep.
He's gonna prevent the breakout run or catch because you were doing something you weren't supposed to. So I know that they love having him on defense because of his smarts.
He's a lot like we've talked about this for the Lightning. You know, what Anton Strahlman was years ago and then Ryan McDonough.
You know,
like, they make their partners better because you can go do stuff. And even if you screw up, I'm there. Like, you know, it's not a problem. You know, we'll get this covered. We'll, you know, live to face another down.
Right. Right.
You know? And, you know, Levante is so good at that. Like, you know, maybe he's not as fast as he used to be, but boy, he's always in the right spots. He's always in the middle of a play. Like, he's fun to watch.
Yep.
Like, if you just watch him off the ball, he's always doing the right thing.
13 tackles in his final game in the postseason. Just amazing how well he was playing at the end of the year. Takes care of his body all year long. You know, is in tremendous shape. And, you know, I think it means a lot for him to finish his career here too. And it's borderline. It's harder with inside linebackers, but it's borderline Hall of Fame as well. You know, depending on how long he wants to play. But he's been terrific. So I don't see him going anywhere else. It's not an absolute. He kind of did the media circuit tour and was like, I really want to come back to the Bucks. But I'll listen. I'll look around. I'm not sure that that's going to happen. But we'll see if he's, you know, going to talk to other teams, visit, whatever. I tend to think it's going to be right here in Tampa. And that's sort of way it's been year to year the last couple of years, two, 3 years. So, first of all, it's a great offseason for Mike Greenberg, for Jason Light. Mm-hmm. If they had a checklist, a to-do list, we all knew what it was. These are really hard things to do, right? You franchise players, you come up with new long-term deals. You cut players. I mean, there's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts in free agency. And I think that Jason Light and Mike Greenberg and all those guys over there, John Spytek, and others have done a heck of a job sort of going from a team a year ago that was nobody liked. I was going to win two or three games, and then turning it around to the point where, you know, you're division champions. And now you go in with some swagger. Now you got some momentum. You got some continuity. I don't know. I like what they've done in the offseason. I like what Light has done. There's more to do, I think, for sure. They're not done just yet. But the big money has been spent on their own, and that's what Jason Light promised, and that's what he delivered. And I think that's smart. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the devil's in the details, but, you know, at least you know a guy and what to expect. There's always some, you know, there's always some risk in free agency when you take on other players. Not that they won't take on one or two, because I think they might. I think one of those guys that's out there that might not be crazy expensive that you need is Jordan Whitehead. You know, mm-hmm. Jordan Whitehead left this team. He was the thumper in the Super Bowl. You know, downhill safety, strong safety, has some ball skills, had three interceptions last year, I think all in one game. But it's interesting because on Instagram and different things, he's put up video of himself, all of them from Tampa Bay. It's just like, hey, dude, back off. Do you want to come back or what? But I don't know, you know, the dollars and cents and all that's going to determine that. But there's some interesting free agents I think that could help the Bucs this year, future years, whatever. And we'll see how aggressive they are going down the rest of the way.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And finally, happy trails. Not a happy anniversary, but it is
really happy trails. Get behind us.
Yeah, exactly. and the thing is, it's an anniversary, not a happy one. But 4 years ago, and my wife and I were out celebrating her birthday, and something always cataclysmic happens, but the world kind of ended, shut down because of the coronavirus. And I think they canceled maybe their first
on the 11th, which was yesterday, as you're yesterday, listening to this podcast, as we're recording, it's the 11th, but yeah. Rudy Gobert tested positive.
That was it.
COVID-19. And the NBA, some games played, and they canceled that one and a couple others. Mm-hmm. And then the
college
next
basketball
day,
canceled their tournaments.
Yeah, that night, nobody. Then the next day, on it was Thursday the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Then it started in the morning. And I remember I was at Amalie Arena. And everyone's kind of going, what's going to happen? Are we playing? Are we not? There's really no indication for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Except the Flyers, who were in town, had packed mm-hmm. up the truck and left the building.
Well, that's an indication, I guess.
And we're all going, well, I guess we're not playing tonight, but the NHL hadn't said anything yet. And
it's a forfeit.
It was, you know, I mean, it was, everything was up in the air. And then college basketball started canceling tournaments.
Yes, that was it for me. When they, you know, the March NBA, Madness went away.
And everything was going to go on pause for 2 weeks, remember? It was going to be 2 weeks.
I do.
2 week pause. I think one of the last events to cancel was actually the Grand Prix of St. Pete was supposed to be that weekend.
Yeah, I think you're exactly correct. That's what
Thursday, as things started that morning, I think the Big East tournament was going on too. They were the only thing that played that actual day, I believe, if I recall. Because they have games in the afternoon.
Right.
Because it's
right.
conference tournaments and it was early.
Sure.
So I think they were like the only ones that played that day.
Wow.
But yeah, then the world canceled. I remember because I have kids in school. You probably did too. So that was Thursday. The Friday, schools were still going. But then as soon as school let out Friday at like 4:30, when the middle schools let out, it was like, okay, spring break's next week, but we're not coming back for another week after that. It was like, you know, everything's pausing for 2 weeks.
There you go.
But of course, you know, it was paused for a lot longer than that as kids did school from home. And, you know, the NBA and the NHL did bubble tournaments that started in, you know, basically August, late July, August.
Mm-hmm.
You know, baseball did that 60-game schedule. That started in about the same time, August as well.
Yeah, it was a crazy time, man. It was just stuff was flying at us then.
But I still remember it was, you know, we'll be back in 2 weeks. That's what everyone kept saying. Everyone kept saying, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Sure.
And I remember I was like, this could take longer. I'm going to grab some equipment and have it at home just in case in case we need stuff. And luckily, I had that. So,
yeah, no, it was crazy.
Like, this doesn't feel like 2 weeks. Like, I know it's what everyone's saying, but it didn't feel like it.
Yeah. And 4 years ago. That's incredible. How about that? Oof, time flies.
You know, it feels like it wasn't that long ago, but then it also feels like it was ages ago.
That's crazy.
I mean, I guess that's part of getting old, but.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, the days are, they say the days are long and the years are short, and that's kind of the way it is around here.
I hope I never have to produce games again remotely, because those were awful.
They had to be. It was terrible for the talent, for you, for everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody doesn't want to be there, and to have to do it under those circumstances were just, you know, really
and then
tough.
even the next season, you know, the announcers weren't allowed to travel. So you did the home games in your booth, but the road games you had to do remotely.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, it was just when you look back at everything we went through and did and the hoops that and not just sports, but life.
Yeah.
That you jump through and did. It's just, it's remarkable.
Yeah. No, it was a crazy time, and I'm glad most of that has passed us and we can get back and talking about the games, and there's plenty of them this week, obviously. And I also think that we'll have a chance to talk with Baker Mayfield at One Buck Place either today or tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to get his mm-hmm. thoughts on re-signing with the Bucks and what his future might entail. There'll probably be some teammates there at that event as well. We'll have a chance to talk to. So keep it right here on TampaBay.com and in the Tampa Bay Times for all your latest of free agency news. Thanks for listening. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.